talked about as a team what we were going to do today. We talked about turning back the clock. Pretty appropriate for today. But when we were discussing it, what came to mind was the past, my ancestors. I am grateful for my ancestors. I honor the past. I am who I am because of my ancestors. Spoke with my sister a couple nights ago, and I learned that I'm the third generation of immigrants from Sweden. I also learned that my great-great-grandfather was a country doctor, and he traveled around in a covered wagon providing medical services for the Indians. In payment, he received beads, baskets, and pottery. The pagans have a chant regarding ancestors, and it goes as such. Cauldron of changes, ring around the stone. Ark of eternity, feather on the bone. We are the old ones, we are the new ones, we are the same ones, wiser than before. Wiser than before. That tells me our story continues. That we learn from people in our past. In fact, there will be time when I become that ancestor and my son and grandson will be singing that chant. I am who I am because of them. I understood that after the third generation, you're forgotten. I can remember my mother, I can remember my grandmother, and I can remember my great-grandmother, but my great-great-grandmother, I have no memory of. But forgotten? I don't think that's true. Reason being is that we all carry traits, temperament traits, characteristic traits that are inherited. You all have heard this. Oh my God, I'm becoming my mother. You're just like your grandfather. These traits are carried on from ancestor to ancestor. In fact, I was just talking to Stuart. I know some of his temperament traits and asked if he shared those traits with his grandparents and parents. His wife in the background kind of was chuckling a little bit, but he does share some traits. So we share traits from our ancestors. So the story continues. Now, for fun, this is not to analyze your family. This is not to do coupling counseling. I will not provide any therapy after today's service. But in the back, by the flowers where you get your refreshments, there is a scale. And it's called inborn temperament traits. For fun. You take a pencil, and there's scales. And these inherited scales could be your activity level. Some people need routine. Other people, la, 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 la. In fact, I realize that my husband doesn't, la, 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 getting ready to go someplace. He's not doing that purposely to make me frustrated. That's his temperament. I, on the other hand, believe it or not, like to get dressed in a routine, so I'm on the couch, I'm waiting. So that solved a lot of problems once I realized my husband was not doing that intentionally. It was his trait. So have fun with this scale. It's pretty self-explanatory. Mark yourself down on the scale. Have your partner, your spouse, do maybe one for your child. Do a family one. One per family, by the way. And see where people are at on this scale. It does kind of explain a few things, especially if you've got a family who likes routine, and you got one little outsider who's la, 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 la. You might explain what's going on in your family. Again, this is meant to be fun. Please don't take this, you know. It should be fun. So when you get your refreshments, be sure to grab one of your scales and have fun with it. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Stuart Fink. Do you recognize these phrases? the good old days. They don't make fill in the blank like they used to. When I was growing up, we didn't have fill in the blank. Why don't they just get a job? And in my day, we never fill in the blank. Turning back the clock to me brings back memories of my childhood. When I lived in Queens in New York, I used to walk by myself to elementary school. It was a good 20-minute walk. After school, my mother always had a glass of milk and a chocolate bar waiting for me as a snack before I worked on my homework assignment. In retrospect, I was grateful that my father was a milkman, one of the last of his kind. He delivered milk in real glass bottles to his customers, so we always had plenty of milk. Needless to say, I was a big milk drinker and still drink it on a daily basis. After I got my homework finished, I would play with the neighborhood kids, unsupervised by any adults. Frequently, we would play catch out on the street in front of our houses, watching out for cars until we were called in for dinner. Nothing bad ever happened to us. After dinner, we would watch our favorite programs on our black and white television before going to bed, usually about 9 p.m. I remember going trick-or-treating with my younger brother with no adults accompanying us. We would come home and dump out our pillowcases of candy on the dining room table and go out to collect more. What I did not know was that my older brothers were sifting through our collection and eating our hard-earned candy. The realities of the world's issues crept in slowly into my life. I read the Weekly Reader in elementary school and vaguely remember some stories about the Freedom Riders in the South and President Eisenhower escorting a little black girl into a previously segregated school in the South. All I knew was that my world was at peace, and as far as I knew, moms generally stayed at home, cleaning, cooking, and raising children, while dads went to work. At least that was what was portrayed on all the television shows back then. In the fall of 1966, I was enrolled in Queens College. The previous term, the student dress code, had been dropped. The president of the senior class, who addressed my freshman class, wore a white shirt and tie. 2 years earlier, an undergraduate of Queens College, Andrew Goodman, along with Michael Schwerner and James Cheney, were murdered in Mississippi, where they had gone to help register black voters. More and more, the idyllic world I lived in was cracking. During my time at college, the war in Vietnam encroached on our lives, and by the time I graduated in 1970, we had seen unrest on our so-called country club campus, which made the front page of Time magazine. Pot smoking invaded our student lounge, and national student unrest culminated in the wounding and killing of students at Kent State in Ohio. As the clock moved forward, memories of those events have faded and life continued on. Raise your hand if you've ever been to Disneyland. Just about everybody. Main Street in Disneyland was created from Walt Disney's memory of what his childhood was like back in Marceline, Missouri, at the beginning of the 20th century. Walt Disney said, "For those of us who remember the carefree time it recreates, Main Street will bring back happy memories. For younger visitors, it is an adventure in turning back the calendar to the days of their grandfather's youth. In my case, I had five grandparents. My mother's mother was married twice. I never knew my mother's father, who died when my mother was a toddler. Of the four remaining grandparents, I knew three. As far as I know, all of my grandparents immigrated from the Ukraine, then part of Russia, to the U.S. at the turn of the 20th century. I never asked my grandparents what the youth was like in the Ukraine. However, I can imagine there was a lot of work to be done. They may not have progressed far in their educations. There was probably fear of pogroms. If you don't know what a pogrom is, those were uncalled for violent attacks against the Jewish communities in Russia. Loss of family members who were left behind when they left for the U.S., and probably some good memories also. I missed those opportunities to ask them about the good old days. From another point of view, here is a quote. I looked up my family tree and found out I was the sap. That's from Rodney Dangerfield. Actually, I would step away from the tree before I looked up. It isn't too late for those here today to ask family members about those memories. You can even go up to people you do not ordinarily talk to during the hospitality hour and ask them about their favorite memories. It would be a start. I would like to leave you with the following quote from Pete Seeger. I want to turn the clock back to when people lived in small villages and took care of each other.
So it's funny, when the three of us started talking about what we're going to do today, we didn't really compare specifically what we were going to say. We just had kind of a general theme, and it's funny how we're saying some of the same things but in very different ways. So I'm going to say just a few things about memory. A couple of years ago, I was walking down Castro Valley Boulevard. As I passed the CVS pharmacy store, I experienced a small snatch of memory. Some months, or maybe even years before that, I'm not sure, I was walking into the store, and as I passed the photo department, I saw a girl that I knew, a pretty young woman with red-colored hair. She came out around the display cases, smiled at me, said hi, and gave me a hug. This one small memory was very real and vibrant. I could almost smell her perfume. So this must have been someone that I knew fairly well or had been friends with, but I had no idea who it was. So I was walking along, and I had this memory, and I got confused, going, I know that happened, but I have no context, no memory of who this person was. All I had was just this piece of this one encounter. I think this may have been the daughter of a coworker, but I had no name for her, no history, no idea when or how we met, no idea if we ever met again, no idea who she was at all. So this brings up an old philosophical question, the one being, if a tree falls in the forest and there was no one there to hear it, does it really make a sound? Only in this case, it would be if two people experience something, but no one on earth remembers it, did that experience really happen? The only thing that validates an experience is someone's memory of it. It's something that happened. If something that happens is not recorded in any way and not remembered, then what is the point? It is lost to the vastness of time and history. It is a wisp of smoke in the air that blows away in the breeze and is no more. So be grateful for the memories that you have, the good times of your lives that you can rerun in your mind's eye. Like Barbara Streisand sang, memories light the corners of my mind, misty watercolored memories of the way we were, scattered pictures of the smiles we left behind. The lessons that we have learned are in those memories, those hard lessons that come from painful experience. If we lose those memories, if we forget the lessons of the past, are we doomed to repeat those mistakes? Our memories are what keep us rooted and keep us afloat. Those words of wisdom from Grandpa, something groundbreaking that your first teacher told you. Those fumbling, uncomfortable lessons that you learned from your early relationships. If we lose those, do we revert to fumbling, inexperienced first-timers again? Or, to quote another song, as Bob Dylan sang, come gather round people wherever you roam and admit that the waters around you have grown and accept that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times, they are a-changing. Without our pasts, we might sink into a deep pool of confusion. Be grateful even for your regrets and mistakes, for there are valuable lessons there. So after walking by CVS, I started to go through my mental files. What else had I forgotten? If whole files were gone, would I even know? Is it possible that entire chapters are missing? Sometimes I will pick up a book and I know that I've read it before and have no idea how the story goes. I might read it again and still be surprised about how the plot develops. I was thinking about a salad I ate the day before, and it took me a really long time to come up with the word celery. Sometimes just a simple word, it takes a little longer. If you have played movie trivia with me, you know that I still have a million facts and movie plots running around in my head, but there are fewer than there used to be. It takes a lot longer to come up with names and titles. I'll see an actor on the screen and know that I know their name. And I know that I just knew their name recently. I was just talking about that actor yesterday. How could I not know it now? It's like, Julianne Moore. Huh. Wow, that was like lifting a heavy weight. My memory was never that great, although as a teenager, I could name off every single Star Trek episode title, the order in which they appeared, I could tell you who wrote it, and who the guest stars were. Of course, I could probably still tell you more about Star Trek than you would ever want to hear, but there would be a few fewer details. My advice would be to take those precious memories of yours and write them down. Save them for posterity. Turn them into stories, plays, songs, or poems. Unless the times of our lives are not really worth saving, does history really need to record who we were, who we knew, how we loved, how we triumphed and lost, how we lived and died? Do all of our billions of stories need to be saved, or is it right and proper that we expire when our time is up and that all we have done, all of those memories, are but smoke in the wind? Smoke in the wind, no more real or vital than our bones or ashes. We are here for an instant, and then we are gone. In 1,000 years, would anyone care if our stories were saved or not? Would anyone remember? Would even God remember? One theory suggests that the actions we take have a ripple effect and continue to cause change and to be important even though we or anyone who might remember those actions are long gone. But who knows? While we are here, while we are alive and learning and loving and experience, be oh so grateful for the times that we have. Cherish your friends and families, listen to the tales of the lives of your older relatives, and pass on the wisdom that you have acquired. For in this way, may we be immortal. May we remember our times with gratitude, and may we be remembered. Thank you.